Mother is now, of course, obviously very, very happy.
Good.
Now she's with us.
She's with you now. I know she's with you, but how's she feeling now? Right.
Oh, she's very well. She's very much happier, obviously. Much more settled, and she looks so different, of course.
Yes.
You know, she got very touchy and difficult. She had a lot of problems anyway. A lot of upsets and worries, and, well, a lot of people didn't understand poor old mother. She had a pretty rough passage one way or another. She's all right now, bless her. She's very happy. Wishes to be remembered to you both.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Remember me to her, will you? Mike, can you give us a talk like you used to do?
Oh, we have the most wonderful experiences here, and of course, most wonderful places to visit. There are many, many spheres, many places of being, as it were, according to one's adjustment, according to one's realization things really. In fact, I suppose it's really true to say that you cannot enter into any environment or enter even a building until you yourself have within yourself prepared and made it possible to become tuned in, I suppose, as it were, to that environment or condition. And of course, when one first comes here, you're on a certain level of consciousness, and everything around and about you more or less, might say, is in tune with you and you with it, and in consequence everything is particularly but there is a realization, of course, after a while, that there are many aspects of life which you sort of touch upon that you don't have a knowledge of. You sort of become slightly aware, but at the same time you're not able to enter into the environment or the condition, or even, if you like, of the mentality, if you put it like that, of an individual. For instance, somebody may come to you from a different sphere or a different condition of life, far removed from your own. You have an awareness or a consciousness, as it were, of their presence, but you're not actually in tune with them, although they're, to some extent, lowering their vibration or tuning into you, and in a kind of way you take on something of this individuality or personality, and gradually that in itself is like an influence that helps you to gradually raise your standards, I suppose is the word to use, of experience, and the desire of knowledge increases, and gradually you sort of become en rapport together, and then you become mentally very much tuned in, and then you're able to communicate. It's in a kind of way rather like us coming down to you. And this happens on many levels over here. Once that begins and you begin to tune in and become part of, in a sense, the other person's influence or become aware of it, then you can open up your own vista and consciousness to entering into different buildings or places with that person who acts, as it were, as a guide. This I've been doing a lot with Mother, of course, although actually I deliberately lowered my vibration considerably to be tuned in with Mother in the initial stages when she first came, so that I could help her more, and in consequence, since I've been also very much attached to Earth through the idea of service and helping, it wasn't so difficult for me as it might have been for some. In any case, I don't want to give a wrong impression here, because I was so concerned with Mother over such a long period, because she was so anxious to keep in touch, and at the same time she was in such need, and I deliberately withheld my own advancement for her benefit, that is, so that I could help her more. And this may sound perhaps very unselfish, but it wasn't as unselfish as it seemed. But then, of course, time is nothing with us, so it really doesn't matter if we hold ourselves back for a while. And often people do this through love, through the desire of helping someone they love on Earth. They do, to some extent, hold back their own evolution or development. But there again, what may seem a long time to you, might be 20, 30 years, is in a sense as nothing. And in the long run, we gain by it, because often if we've passed over young from your world, we still need certain experiences which we can get by linking with through people we know about, things which are interesting and helpful. We learn through other people's suffering sometimes. And of course, in a kind of strange way, we suffer with them. But it's not quite what it seems even then. I have no regrets when I look back on the many years I spent near Earth, helping not only Mother, but other people. It was illuminating and educative and really helped me tremendously to progress, so that when the time actually came for me to renounce, if I can use such a word, Earth altogether, when Mother came and my brother, I could sort of then say to myself, well, now here goes, you know. I can set all contexts. Of course, coming back like this is something I've wanted to do in a kind of way, but not as I did in the old way. In the old way, I was to some extent limited, partly by Mother, but now I can come back and I can feel more free. I wasn't so free before in a strange kind of way. Now I can come just occasionally and perhaps give you some interesting thoughts and interesting experiences which will perhaps be beneficial to other people who are seeking, you see.
Yeah. Well, Michael, can you give us some of your experience?
Oh yes, well, I've recently been entering into a new, I suppose how to put this, a new phase of experience, inasmuch that I'm learning how to utilize power. Now, I don't mean power as you imagine power. I'm talking about a spiritualized power. Even that doesn't describe what I mean. In fact, it's very vague. But it's a force which enables me to utilize forces within myself of which I previously knew nothing. One becomes, in a sense, almost automatic over here, the same as one does on Earth. You realize the possibilities within yourself, and to some extent you utilize the opportunities that present themselves to you on Earth, and you endeavor in consequence to become or something in certain material senses with those forces or powers or talents, call them what you will, is a mixture of many things. But here one realizes that one has powers and a force which is, in a sense, so tremendous that you can achieve by it fantastic things. You can, in a creative sense, for instance, you can learn how to create of thought force, something which is very vital and very real, very, to some extent, I hate to use the word permanent, but certainly permanent as long as you hold on to the idea of it. Buildings, for instance, are created in various ways here. On lower spheres, they're created from substances, and people are employed to make various things which are necessary to the creative effect or effort, building materials and so on, and all manner of substances and goods. But this is, in a sense, on a lower basis, on a lower sphere. It's not from, it is a kind of creative work, obviously, but it's in a different sense. I'm learning now to use creative power from within oneself without using the substances which would be found on certain spheres, but which can be used in such a way that you can, by the very force of self, to the idea of thought, build and create not only buildings, but works of art and all manner of things which are a pleasure, a joy to experience and to place in concern for buildings, inhabitants of. These are realities. But they are realities of the mind that have been created by the power of within oneself, not from actual substances as such. And yet these buildings and the places of which I speak are as real to the individuals who inhabit them and live among them as anything that you would know on Earth, more so. Whereas buildings on your side may last for a few centuries. Here they would last for, well, one can't give time, but enormous span, because the inhabitants, no doubt, will inhabit that sphere for what would be to you thousands of years, I suppose, although of course we can't measure time. And there are all sorts of factors which enter into this, but also sort of functions which are held, which bigger description, I mean tremendous functions where thousands upon thousands of people gather, and all sorts of entertainments, I suppose you'd call them, although there's more to it than that, take place, and thousands of entertainers, that are people who give of themselves, and by the very power of their thought are able to impress and impregnate their personality and that which they have to convey on the buildings and in the buildings and on the peoples that are involved. We have, I suppose you'd call them pageants, but that's a bad word, because everything we have to describe to you has to come down to a certain level, and in consequence we have to use words which give you a vague outline or description. The rest you must fill in from within yourself, and this of course is important, inasmuch as you yourselves must not limit yourselves too much, but must try to fill in from within yourselves that part of which we cannot depict fully, but you have a power the same as we have. But again, you see, this is a functioning power on all levels. But of course, these things can only be experienced by the individual when he or she is in a state of being to be able to so do. I mean, you can imagine, if you like, but what is imagination? I mean, you can create an imaginative sense, and it can have no function or no solidity in it, only within your innermost self, but the reality of it can be felt, and indeed, there are such things as people, the things that have been created by people still on earth that function over here. And really, you know, people's thoughts are far more real than they realize, and only this side, we have vast numbers of souls whose concerted thoughts, concerted efforts, blended together in a complete oneness and harmony, makes possible a creative world which is so far removed from anything you know or experience that, well, it's hopeless even try to begin to explain it to you.
But, Michael, you say you're learning this, how to manipulate this power. Now put it that way. Yes, isn't it, really?
It's what it really amounts to, but how to explain it,
yes.
I don't know.
Well, do you actually, say you want to create something, do you sort of concentrate on in your imagination on that particular thing you want to create, and it's formed, you can see it forming? Or
you see, what I'm so anxious for it is giving you the impression that everything here is effortless. In a strange kind of way, there's a certain amount of truth in that. And yet at the same time, it would be very wrong, anyone on this side, to try to give you the impression that all you have to do is think of something and there it is. That is much too easy, and there would be no joy or no pleasure in it. It might be, for the first few times, something very wonderful and given a great deal of satisfaction, but one would soon tire of the ability to create something just by the mere wishing for it or thinking of it, and in consequence it would pall. You see, the only things that really matter, the only things that give real joy and happiness, are the things that to some extent you must make an effort to bring into being or you work for. So when I talk about this power, of creative power that we have, that is within ourselves, to express something of our individuality and our own personality, and when it's a collective thing of a group of peoples, this is something which does not necessarily happen easily. It is something which we have to give of ourselves, and this is another experience which is very difficult to explain when one talks about giving of oneself or expressing of oneself. It can be accepted in several senses and misunderstood in consequence. Point is that there's a tremendous amount that we can do and achieve by the power of our innermost self. But there are limitations, I suppose, which are set. I don't know if there's, I suppose there are some laws of which we don't yet even know. Everything seems to fall into place, everything seems to have a meaning and a purpose, and everything that we do, we realize, is something which has to be and is necessary and is helpful to us. But everything that we create, it is not, in a sense, purely for self. If, for instance, if we go to a great congregation of people who are gathered together on a different sphere, who are seeking certain knowledge or experience, then we go as a concerted effort together, and by the very power of our will and our thought, are able to bring into being, even though it's only on their plane temporarily, some semblance of reality, which to them is visual and audible, and which they can hear, for instance, glorious singing or glorious music, or they can see pictures of a kind which we have created in a mental way and which are visible to them, of life in a higher field of experience and sense, and in consequence they have a realization of what can be and can be achieved by themselves once they themselves make an effort to uplift or upgrade themselves. In other words, enter into a mental harmony with us, even though it's only temporary. It gives them an insight. All this is done by the power from within oneself. Everything in life is from within oneself. This is the beauty and the joy of living. This is the real creative power that is within all men. It functions in your world to some extent. Particularly you find it among the great people who created great music or perhaps great art in some form or other. These are the creative powers which man has on earth, which are seldom used, which function here naturally. But they're on different levels. And that is our problem, of course, that we can not describe to you. For instance, we can see ourselves as we were in a previous incarnation, not only on earth, but in a previous life, or shall we say a fourth life, on a previous strata of being. In other words, you see, once you can accept the fact that all life is a continuation, a step by step progressive, and that on a different sphere or plane, where once we were, we have a realization of self living in that condition, even though it may have been for a short spell or perhaps even a long spell, we can see how we have made progress. It doesn't mean to say that we are, in a sense, more than one person. What I'm trying to explain is that one, there are many facets, if you like, to an individual character or personality. We go from stage to stage and condition to condition. And it is by having the ability to tune in, if you like, to the past. Not only our own past, let me tell you, but the past of the world. I'm talking here about the material world in particular. But we can see the world in all its varying degrees and stages, if we wish, and tune into a particular period of history. Perhaps it may be a period of history in which we ourselves played some part. And we can see ourselves, and we can see in retrospect our lives as they once were. And all this is very interesting and illuminating, but also it gives us an insight into the evolution and development not only of ourselves or the human race. And we learn a wisdom, and a strength that's gained from that wisdom, which enables us to visualize not only the present as we know it more clearly, but the future that is yet to come. You see, there is no beginning and no end. And that is what I think is so important and so vital for people to realize, is that life, the very fact that life is, it still remains and must remain a reality and a perfect thing. There is no beginning and no end, and that is why eternal life is a reality and is understandable to us, because we know that we are going through phases of knowledge and experience and existence. And as we move from one to another, so we gain more experience comes to us, which makes us prepared for a new step or a new venture further afield. And the realization then of eternity doesn't seem, as it so often must do on earth, an impossible thing in itself. No one can visualize, I don't even pretend that we can understand it, but we do see that while we have this reality of life, the possibility of further experience is there. Indeed, we have the vision of it, and it is this vision, like we get quite often, that creates the stepping stones, as it were, for the bringing into focus of that which is yet hidden. It's an extraordinary thing. I don't know how one can hope to describe it. But it's as if sometimes we can see not only backwards but also forwards. But then again, this is all very vague, because we talk about back and forth, and we talk about experiences in past lives and the visualization of things yet to come. But this is not something that is going back and forth. This is circular in a sense. Mathematics I'm not very good at, and I don't suppose mathematically one can hope to depict or describe all this that I'm trying to convey. But the whole point is that we must get away from this idea of the past, the future and the present, because it's much more deep than that, it's much more vast than that, the same as the world is round and floats in space, so there are millions upon millions of other worlds in space, which is so vast that one cannot even put any tag on it at all. There are other worlds in which people are living and expressing themselves, having their realization of life, and they are sometimes people in certain worlds who lived on Earth previously, who have entered into a new condition. You see, people always think, because it's all due to this old way of thinking of the biblical teaching and what have you, way back when, and religion, etc., of this difference of heaven and hell, and what have you, and limbo, and all the rest of it. You see, these are just names, but the point is that there are millions upon millions of stratas of being, of worlds floating in space, and that is why I think that man may yet, in the future, form some sort of method, or create some sort of method of communication between certain worlds, which will make, at least, for more knowledge, and give man a real insight into the reality of what is generally termed, loosely termed, and wrongly termed, really, in a sense, the spirit world. I mean, this is such a vague term that it's almost laughable. I mean, people talk about the spirit world. Well, the point is that these worlds, in a sense, have been, of course they are, and have been worlds for generations, centuries upon centuries upon centuries, billions of years. And the spirit, which is a loose term anyway, which no one can really quite define. I mean, I'm living in what you term, if you like, a spiritual world or spirit world, but we don't see spirit and we're not conscious of spirit in the sense that you understand even that. I mean, this business of the physical body and the spiritual body, they're all vague, loose terms. We're much more than physical bodies, we're much more than what is termed spiritual bodies. You see, that very life which we have is all around and about your world in untold millions of places in the atmosphere are people's living and breathing and experiencing. And I suppose you'd like, you could call them spiritual beings, but this word spiritual and spirit are all very vague things. And people have the idea when you talk about spiritual beings or spiritual worlds, as some sort of religious state of being or religious peoples with a religious outlook and clinging to old worn-out beliefs and so on. All this is wrong, you see. We are in a state of being. The word spirit, if you like, you can attach it on if you want to, or spiritual. But we're living lives that are real lives in real worlds, doing real things, experiencing remarkable happenings, and we're entering into new fields of experience where we have many, what you would call, I suppose, scientific forms of life, and yet when you understand them, the scientific drops away and has, in a sense, no meaning. Things you don't understand you call miracles. There's no such thing anywhere. It merely means that there's something that's happening you don't understand how it works, and therefore you call it a miracle because it doesn't fall in with known ideas and theories and so on. Scientists on your side are receiving inspirations. Often the inspirations they receive, they work upon, act upon, and create things. Sometimes they use those things for evil, which is unfortunate. They're not intended for this side. People who help scientists try to give them knowledge that we use for the good of humanity. But often these things are used by governments, these findings are used for bad rather than for good. All sorts of strange and wonderful things are happening, even in your world at this moment. You don't see them because you're not vibrating, as it were, harmoniously with these conditions, with the people that are there working with you. When I used to come back to work and I used to communicate occasionally, and when I used to try and help, as I often did, various places, peoples and so on, I was conscious of the people sometimes that I was trying to help, but very rarely, and particularly only when they were leaving their bodies, perhaps through sudden death or something like that. You see, the point is that we are all part of each other, and until we realize that, until we fully comprehend that there's no such thing, although we talk about individuality, and it's true that we're building up our own individuality to some extent, this must be, Though we remain separate in a strange kind of way, we have our own shape and form, which may be different to someone else, yet at the same time we are all the same spirit, it's all the same functioning force and power, emanating and at the same time creating from within ourselves and making possible that which is to be for ourselves and for those around and about us. We're all sharing the same vital force, the same vital spirit. We may react differently, and we may give our own interpretation and expression to things, but it's still the same power and the same spirit. This is the life that is, that nothing could destroy. We're all part of the one life and the one force, the one power. Anyway, I hope I can come a little more, because I'd like to talk to you about all sorts of things.
Mike, I'd like to understand there is a time when you lose shape and form.
Well, there may well be, but it's never happened to me yet, quite frankly, although I can visualize the possibility of it, I hope it doesn't happen. But there again, I don't think that's quite true. I think that it's true in a sense, but I don't think that you lose consciousness of shape or form. You may lose shape or form from the point of view of other people seeing your shape and form, but you can create or recreate or bring into being your shape and form at will if you so wish, if you think it's necessary, or if you're on a certain vibrational sphere, then probably the very nature of things you would automatically be brought into shape and form. But I should imagine it's feasible to get beyond a certain state of being where shape and form in themselves as such are not important. But of course this is something I don't profess to know as yet, but I can visualize the reality of it. Anyway, I want to talk to you, if I may, for a time, not today, but other times, on all sorts of factors which will be of interest, I think. Because I've learned quite a lot recently and I want to help if I can, because I used to love coming to talk, you know.
Right. Would you come through next time?
If I can, yes. Yes, I will. Anyway, Mama sends all her love.
Thank you for listening.
I'd like to help you all I can. Yes. I know you do a marvelous job with your tapes. Fill out the scope because the power's waning. But all the best and God bless you. Bye bye.
Thank you, Michael.
Bye bye. Bye bye. Bye bye. Cheer with Pippi.
Cheer with Pippi.
What did you say?
Cheer with Pippi.